Morgoth, the original big bad guy of Tolkien's Legendarium, built much during his time in Middle-earth. But perhaps the things with the greatest longevity were the creatures he created. Orcs, dragons, and more. Let's take a look at Morgoth's creatures. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we dive deep into the Lord of the Rings and Tolkien's wider Legendarium, as well as A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Welcome. Middle-earth is filled with dangerous creatures, some natural and some distinctly unnatural. But where did they come from? Obviously, many dangerous creatures are not evil per se, even in the darkest of times in Tolkien's world. Wolves, bears, and probably olifaunts alike are naturally occurring in Middle-earth. And though they may be used by evil forces for evil deeds, they themselves are not evil. Tolkien's world has one true god, Uru, Ilúvatar, who is perfectly good, and also the only being capable of wielding the Flame Imperishable. In other words, the only thing capable of creating something out of nothing. Which means two very important things in Tolkien's theology. First, nothing that exists is 100% evil, because everything that exists ultimately comes from Uru. Nothing is, in Tolkien's words, irredeemable. And second, when we talk about Morgoth's creations, they are sub-creations, really, made using substances that Uru had already made. So the natural creatures that exist in Middle-earth, wolves, bears and so on, are not evil per se, but can be used for evil. Those that were sub-created by Morgoth for evil purposes are still not irredeemable, even if in the vast majority of cases they stay doing mostly evil stuff all of their days. Those may sound like rather technical points, but Tolkien felt they were pretty fundamental. Okay, that said, what did Morgoth make? Well, let's start with orcs, as they were the first of his sub-creations to take shape, even before the First Age. We read this in the Silmarillion about their origins. The context here is the fate of a significant number of elves that were captured in the early days by Morgoth, known then as Melkor. But of those unhappy ones who were ensnared by Melkor, little is known of a certainty. For who of the living has descended into the pits of Utumno, or has explored the darkness of the councils of Melkor? Yet this is held true by the wise of Eresea, that all those of the Quendi who come into the hands of Melkor ere Utumno was broken were put there in prison, and by slow arts of cruelty were corrupted and enslaved. And thus did Melkor breed the hideous race of the orcs in envy and mockery of the elves, of whom they were afterwards the bitterest foes. For the orcs had life and multiplied after the manner of the children of Ilúvatar, and naught that had life of its own, nor the semblance of life, could ever Melkor make since his rebellion in the Ainulindale before the beginning, so say the wise. And deep in their dark hearts, the orcs loathed the master whom they served in fear, the maker only of their misery. This, it may be, was the vilest deed of Melkor, and the most hateful to Ilúvatar. It has to be said that Tolkien went through a few different variants of thought on the exact nature of orcs. I did a whole other video on it if you're interested. But he never varied from the concept that they were originally created by Morgoth as foot soldiers for himself and as a mockery of the elves, who were the firstborn children of Ilúvatar. The orcs are therefore a twisted version of his own firstborn children. Not that those children loved him, of course. In fact, they hated him, a state of being that was sustained from generation to generation, because yes, orcs multiplied after the manner of the children of Ilúvatar. They had babies. Much, much later, Uruk-hai emerge as stronger, tougher orcs, better able to operate during daylight. These again were not made ex nihilo, from nothing, but by, well, Treebeard speculates that it is a mark of evil things that came in the great darkness that they cannot abide the sun, but Saruman's orcs can endure it, even if they hate it. I wonder what he has done. Are they men he has ruined, or has he blended the races of orcs and men? That would be a black evil. Treebeard is probably right in both his speculation as to how Sauron, then Saruman, made the Uruk-hai, and the moral implications. Anyway, The second clear sub-created creature from Morgoth is dragons. The first dragon was named Glaurung. We read that Morgoth perceived now that the orcs, unaided, were no match for the Noldor, and he sought in his heart for new counsel. Again, after 100 years, Glaurung, the first of the Ur-Lochai, the fire drakes of the north, issued from Angband's gates by night. He was yet young and scarce half-grown, for long and slow is the life of dragons. But the elves fled before him to Ered-Wethrin and Dothonion in dismay, and he defiled the fields of Ard-Gallan. But Morgoth was ill-pleased that Glaurung had disclosed himself oversoon, and after his defeat there was the long peace of well-nigh 200 years. Glaurung was an early, powerful prototype for the later winged dragons, which emerged at the very end of the First Age, and some escaped to multiply in the manner of the children of Ilúvatar through the second, third, and even later ages, though they seem to have shrunk in size and power over the ages. Smaug was probably the last of the great dragons. So we have orcs and dragons, both confirmed within the pages of the Silmarillion as having been Morgoths. But there is more, because we get trolls. Trolls appear dotted about the pages of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And although we don't get absolute confirmation, Treebeard, an ancient and wise observer of events, opines that trolls are only counterfeits, made by the enemy in the Great Darkness, in mockery of Ents, as orcs were of elves. So that's another mockery of something good made by Morgoth. As I said, Tolkien never, however, fully confirms it, and gives a rather vague answer to a question about it in his letter 153. I am not sure about trolls. I think they are mere counterfeits, and hence, though here I am of course only using elements of old barbarous myth-making that had no aware metaphysic, they return to mere stone images when not in the dark. But there are other sorts of trolls, besides these rather ridiculous if brutal stone trolls, for which other origins are suggested. So maybe not all trolls, but I think we have enough here to start to pull together some commonalities. First, none of these creatures are really new or original. Orcs and probably trolls are clearly created in an effort to mock Eru's true original creations. Some have suggested, though the evidence is not exactly strong, that the same might be the case for dragons, as mockeries of the great eagles. Also, it's fair to say that the counterfeits are never as beautiful or clever or impressive as the original. That Treebeard quote we looked at a moment ago actually carries on. He says that trolls are just mockeries of Ents, then affirms that we are stronger than trolls. We are made of the bones of the earth. We can split stone like the roots of trees, only quicker, far quicker, if our minds are roused. If we are not hewn down or destroyed by fire or blast of sorcery, we could split Isengard into splinters and crack its walls into rubble. As we discover, these are not idle boasts, and elves could probably say the same about orcs. The power and craftsmanship of any given elf far outstrips that of any given orc. Which isn't to say that Morgoth couldn't create powerful things. Glaurung was immensely powerful, as was Ancalagon, and there's also Karcharoth. Karcharoth was a werewolf, so descended from the line of werewolves originally created by Sauron. Yes, Sauron also took raw materials from elsewhere, this time presumably wolves and humans, and turned them into something twisted and under his control. Karcharoth, though, was Morgoth perfecting that prototype. It's a long story, and a great one. Please do check out Beren and Lúthien if you never have. But Morgoth discovered that Húan, the bestest boy in Middle-earth and a legendary figure in his own right, might be about to attack his stronghold with Beren and Lúthien. There was a legend or prophecy that Húan could only be killed by the greatest wolf to ever have lived, so Morgoth set himself to create just that, to guard his gate. The heroes in this get past Karcharoth on the way in with the help of Lúthien's magic, but not on the way out. A long chase ensues, and it all ends up with Karcharoth killing Húan and Beren, but himself dying. So although this isn't the moral most people take from the story, it does prove that Morgoth did make the greatest wolf ever to live, because Karcharoth killed Húan. So Morgoth could create powerful beings, but not original ones. And perhaps the fact that these are all imitations is actually a compliment to Aru from Morgoth, though no doubt unintended. He wanted soldiers, and so he created something like the elves. He wanted something tougher and stronger, so he made something like the Ents. Sometimes he could make very impressive things indeed, but he could never truly capture the beauty of the original. It is often misquoted, but Frodo sums this up well in The Lord of the Rings when talking about orcs. The shadow that bred them can only mock. It cannot make, not real new things of its own. I don't think it gave life to the orcs. It only ruined them and twisted them. And if they are to live at all, they have to live like other living creatures. All of which brings us back to that imperishable flame, the power through which Iluvatar creates things from nothing. Because Morgoth really, really wanted to create things of his own. We read early on in the Silmarillion that he had gone often alone into the void places seeking the imperishable flame, for desire grew hot within him to bring into being things of his own, and it seemed to him that Iluvatar took no thought for the void, and he was impatient of its emptiness. Yet he found not the fire, for it is with Iluvatar. But being alone, he had begun to conceive thoughts of his own unlike those of his brethren. Thoughts of power and glory of his own, which is where our last important distinction lies. Wanting to create things on his own was not Morgoth's sin. It was wanting to do it for his own glory and power. It was not wrong for Morgoth to want to create things using what Iluvatar had already created. It was wrong of him to do it as a mockery or a counterfeit. Tolkien viewed himself as a sub-creator, and indeed anyone who ever creates is too, whether that act of creation is a work of art, another human, or a nice garden. Morgoth's creations were evil not because the act of sub-creation was evil, but because the intent was. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.